Well, good morning, church family. It's wonderful to see all your beautiful smiling faces. Well, I'm noticing we have the majority smiling faces. Now, I wouldn't say everybody, but the majority. So it's, I'm happy to be here. And have you seen the title? What does happiness have to do with it? So obviously today we're going to be talking about happiness. We're going to be talking about the things that we try and do to make us happy. And we'll also learn about the things that we should do to make us happy, to find true happiness. So before we open up the Word of God, let's pray one more time. Dear wonderful Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath day. Speak to us today with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Help us to search your scriptures. Help us to be able to get to know you more, Lord, and help us to find true happiness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so do people look for happiness? Okay, people look for happiness. And where do people look for places? What places do people look? There was a study that was done, and it talks about, and it lists 9 places that unhappy people look for happiness. So the first is they look for happiness in their next purchase, right? The next thing that you want to buy, something that you're saving up for, right? That next big purchase that's really going to make you happy. Man, when you get that hot tub, then you're going to be happy, right? Also, they say that the number 2 is in their next purchase or their next paycheck. Right? The next paycheck, the next time we get more money, because a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck, not because they do not get paid a lot, it's because they continue to buy things and they continue to absorb themselves with things and stuff. So they're waiting for that next paycheck so that they can get out and use the money for whatever they want to use it for. There's a famous quote that said, "Money won't make you happy, but everybody wants to find out for themselves," right? We've heard that, but, you know, sometimes we want to see if that's true, right? If you had $1 million sitting on your lap today, would you be a happier person? A lot of people would say, yes, I would be a happier person. They'd want to try it out, right? So the next is their next relationship, right? So the next friend that you have, the next boyfriend, girlfriend, next marriage that you have, right? The next one's going to make you happy. The next one is the one, right? And my happiness is dependent on that next person, that next relationship, right? We need a new friend. We need a new best friend. My best friend right now is not making me happy, right? The fourth one is the next physical enhancement, right? I'm waiting for my happiness when I finally get my next Botox, right? I need Botox, right? So that's what's going to make me happy. Or I've always had really thin lips. So maybe if I do a little enhancement on my lips, that's what's going to make me happy, right? So a lot of people think, but I mean, me, I don't need anything. I'm perfect, right? But a lot of other people need things like that. Obviously, I'm not perfect. But maybe my next hair transplant, right? That'll make me happy. So people look for that. Or they look for their next competition. People who are competitive and always are looking to do things, right? The next competition, the next way that they can be competitive, that's going to bring them happiness. When they finally get to bring home that trophy, when they finally win, they get on that new team. The sixth one is the next job. Well, this job is not making me happy, but my next job that I get is going to be the one that's going to make me happy, right? Or the next escape, the next vacation, the next time I get to go get away. I'm not happy with, you know, myself and when I'm at home and when I'm at work and I'm just in the doldrum of the day to day. But my next escape, I'm going to be happy after that. I'm going to return a new person. And these ones are, the last two are a little bit desperate. You know, the last two places where unhappy people look for happiness. And the next one is in the next person to solve their problems Right? This isn't necessarily a relationship, but this may be a therapist, right? This person is going to solve my problems. This person, I'm going to look for somebody, and somebody's going to be able to help me. So I'm searching for that person to be able to help. And the last one is accepting things the way they are. That's what's going to make you happy. Just live with it. That's what you got, right? Just be happy. In a way, it's healthy, right? But in a way, it's not, because you're just accepting what's going on instead of doing something about your happiness, right? So those are, I just wanted to focus. So we get in mind areas where people look, where unhappy people look for happiness, right? And I think that people today, and we're talking more in the U.S., right? We're talking more of our nation, because this may not translate necessarily to everybody else. But people here, we focus too much on happiness. Whether we're happy or not. Am I happy? Does this make me happy, right? People focus way too much about it. And happiness and always being happy has kind of changed and morphed itself into becoming one of the central points in our life, right? But it hasn't always been that way. If you look at the human history, people have not always been focused on happiness and whether things make us happy or not. Because for thousands of years, the main focus was survival. Right? People needed to survive. People needed to eat. They weren't necessarily going out and searching out to do things to make them happy. They were searching out things so they didn't die, so that their kids could have food, so they could have shelter. They went out, and people actually did physical labor. Everybody did physical labor. The whole family worked. It wasn't just the mom and the dad. The kids worked. They did all their chores. And everybody just, they were a part of the family. They were a part of society. People still had good times during those times, even when they had to focus on survival. But it wasn't the main focus on their lives. You didn't just go to the store during the 1300s and just go and buy a sandwich, right? You didn't just go to the store. Or you couldn't just call or get on an app and have food delivered, right? Most of the time in those days, you didn't even really get to pick what you got to eat. You ate what was available. Right now, we want to make food our happiness. Well, today, I want something a little bit different. I want veggie burgers today. We had spaghetti yesterday, right? Back in those days, for a lot of people and for the majority of humanity, you ate what was available. So now, today, we don't focus much on survival. Subconsciously, we do things for survival. But how many of you woke up this morning thinking about how am I going to survive? Right? That was not, for some of us, right? We still do. But for a lot of us, that was not on our mind. What was on our mind was more happiness. And feeling good, right? So a lot of people don't take jobs anymore just for survival, just so they can have food. There are people that do, but a lot of people they don't want to take a job at Taco Bell anymore because that job doesn't make them happy, but yet they don't have food on their table. So just take any job, right? People are not willing to do that. And we have kind of gotten out of the survival mode. And we are very self-centered. There was an interesting, around the mid to late 1700s in our world, there were a lot of things that were happening that kind of changed the mindset of how people started to think about their lives. At that time, you had the French Revolution, American Revolution, Industrial Revolution, all kind of around those times. And the worldview of us common people changed. We went from living a very sheltered life and a life that we were basically providing for governments or of providing for the kings and the queens and everything like that. We went from that thinking during those times that the people had to focus on helping those people live, you know, the monarchs and the government, to now that time, it changed to where now the governments had to start working for the people, right? So there was, if we want to investigate a little bit more about what happened during that time, a lot of ideas started coming around. The Industrial Revolution came around and people started making things for, just to be able to have things for comfort, right? We didn't necessarily have to have only things for survival, but now after this time, we had things for comfort, things for pleasure. And people didn't have to worry so much about the times of survival because now they started to implement governments that would take care of them and give them certain liberties. And people now, after this time and the new thinking around this time, people thought that they were entitled to happiness. It's okay to live, but people had the right to be happy. And I'm in agreement with that. We should have the right to be happy. Look at the Declaration of Independence. How does it start off? The first lines are, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." So certain rights that we should have, that we have to have, and these rights are, that among these are life, liberty, and what? The pursuit of happiness. Right? So happiness is now a right for everybody. You have the right to be happy. Everybody is given, everybody should have life, everybody should be free, and everybody should be free to find pleasure and find happiness in whatever they want, almost, right? As long as it doesn't break the law. But we have the right to do that. So the pursuit of happiness, starting in this time, started to be the number one goal that people had on their minds, was happiness. To be in that state of being happy all the time. People thought, I just want to be happy, and if something doesn't make me happy, I have to take that part out of my life. And that's great. But in this whole scheme of things, what really, and when we're looking at life in general, what does happiness have to do with life? You know, what happened to focusing on our jobs, focusing on our family, focusing on marriage, focusing on building something, creating something, helping out others? Life is not all about being happy. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if we lived in this fairy tale land that we only picked things that made us happy? And that's the life that a lot of people choose to live in. If it doesn't make me happy, I'm not going to do it. Right? But there are a lot of things that we have to do that do not bring us happiness. I'm sorry, but washing the dishes does not bring me happiness. But I have to do them. I have a lovely wife that does them the majority of the time, but I have to do them too, right? Cleaning the bathroom does not make me happy. But what happens if you don't clean the bathroom, right? That's another story, right? There are so many things in our life that we have to do because we're living life. It's not always about being happy. Right? When I'm at work and I have to sit in all day on business meetings, I'm not happy. I have to do them. It's a part of my job, right? So since the mid to late 1700s, this has been the focus on a lot of people. And man has re-identified what it is to be happy. And I've got two different areas where I did some research to be able to think, how does man view happiness? And they're pretty good, right? How man views happiness. And so the first one we found out, there were a whole bunch of scientists, and they put together a deep study into happiness and what makes people happy. And they came up with three things that make people happy. And I think when we go through this, well, everybody's going to agree to that. The first one is pleasure, right? Being happy are doing things that bring you pleasure, right? Going to the beach and relaxing on the beach brings me a ton of happiness, right? So doing things for pleasure, that can bring people happiness. The second one is engagement. When we are a part of something, right? When we're working with a group of people towards something, what we're doing here, you know, right? There's engagement. So if you have some engagement in your life and you're working with other people, that can bring you happiness, right? There are some things about my job that do bring me happiness. I love when we get to work and we have team meetings and we brainstorm and do things. I'm engaged in those conversations, and it's great. So the third thing that they came up with was meaning, right? Feeling like you have a meaning in what you do can bring happiness, right? Because if we're just doing things just to do them, like we talked about the cleaning the bathroom and doing dishes, that's a task. That doesn't bring me any meaning, right? But doing a Bible study or being a part of a different group, being part of a church, right? They can bring meaning into our life. So when you find happy people, you're going to see that they have these things. Sometimes it's only the pleasure part. Sometimes it can be all three, you know, right? And if you see people that are unhappy, they most of the time do not have these things in their life. They're not engaged. They don't do anything for pleasure, and they have no meaning in their life. So of course they're going to be unhappy. But what if there was something that we could do that could bring us to have all three of these things together, right? To be engaged, to have pleasure, and to have meaning as well. Wouldn't it be great to have all three of those in something, in things that we did in our life? Because today, too many people just focus on the pleasure part to make them happy. Is everybody kind of in agreement, right? The majority, the major percentage of people are looking for happiness in the pleasure part, not so much in the engagement part and the meaning part. People crave what it is the feeling of happy, right? When you have that feeling that you're, that just puts a smile on your face. That's what people think that happiness is. It is correct, but the pursuit of just the pleasure part, it's very short. You know, the time frame of pleasure after doing something, of happiness after pleasure, is shorter than it will be for engagement and shorter than it will be for meaning. So there's also, I'm not sure if you've heard of it, maybe some of you have heard of this, it's called the four P's of happiness. If you have the four P's, you are happy. The first one is purpose. The second one is people, progress, and positivity. So if you have all of these things, they found that these people that have all these four P's are going to be happy. And you have to, and I'm in agreement, you have to have a purpose, right? We want to have a purpose with what we do, and I think that needs to be the number one. Not like the other study that was pleasure was number one, right? We need to have a purpose. And we need to do it around people. I have a hard time finding somebody that is happy that is alone. When you are alone, you're not happy. We have to be around people. We are social creatures. So if we isolate ourselves, we're isolating ourselves from happiness. So if you want to be happy, but you're still just watching church from your house, and you won't get out of your house, right? So progress, right? We need to be improving. If we're doing things in our life, and we have a purpose, and we're progressing in something, that's going to make us happy. We're going to feel good about ourselves. Who likes to feel good about themselves? Right? When you're trying to work out, I remember, you know, a long time ago after I had a back surgery, you know, I wanted to start running again. Right? And I did about a half mile the first time. And then the second time was about a half mile. And then progressively I started getting better. And you start feeling good about yourself. And when you're reading a book, you have a book that you think might give you some good information. It might bring you closer to God, right? And as you read that book, you get progress. You know, you see where the marker is in the book every time, and you see that you're making progress. So progress will make you happiness. And then positivity. Positivity is a good one. Because if you're not positive about what you do, then that happiness has a hard time coming up. Right? If you have purpose and you're around people and you're progressing, but yet you have a negative look on life and you ask, why am I not happy? So positivity is there. So if you have all four of the P's, you're going to be a happy person. And I think we can agree with that. So this right here, what we just went over, these two different studies, and if you look at a lot of other happiness studies, you'll find that they're very similar. They can have a little bit different terminology, but they're all right there. All of those are how man identifies happiness. Right? So then let's see what God says about happiness. If you want to follow along, you can go to Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So if you want to open up your Bibles, we can go over these three verses. I hear pages still turning. So the book of Psalm, chapter 1, verse 1. And it says this, blessed, or in some translations, it says happy from the word ashar, is happy or blessed. We want to, for this text, we want to say happy, right? Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And verse 2 says this, but his delight is in the law of God, and in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Right? So those three verses. So let's take a look at this. If we look at the verse 1, we find here that we are not happy if we are living in sin. If you are living in sin, you are not going to be happy. You can feel happiness in pleasure, but it is an empty happiness, an empty pleasure. We need to be happy, and we need to separate ourselves from sin. Happy is the man, or blessed is the man, who does not walk in sin, who does not walk in this world. So if we are thinking and we are wondering, I'm not that happy, and if we look at our lives and we're still just absorbed in this world, well, there it is. God is telling us right here, happy and blessed is the man who separates himself from sin. All right? Happy is the man who does not sin. Can anybody verify this? When you're living in sin, the happiness just is not the happiness that we all want. Right? Sin can make us just feel good for a while, right? But it's very empty. And I only realized a while ago that was not happiness. That's what I thought happiness was feeling good and partying and doing all those things. But now that I have separated myself from sin, for the most part, we're all still working on that, right? So now that we have separated ourselves from sin, we find that we have a deeper and truer happiness, right? Has anybody experienced that? And we also see that happiness is found in God's law, in obeying Him and being by Him, right? Happiness is found obeying and following God's law. Some of the happiest people I know are people who stay in accordance to what God says. And they say, this is what God wants. This is what I'm going to do. Right? And we may see people and know people outside of the church that say, well, how can you be happy with so many strict rules? Well, come on, there's only 10. It's really not that bad. You know, we follow unconsciously. We follow so many hundreds of civil laws each and every day, right? There's only 10. God really is not that difficult. So separate ourselves from the world and follow God. When we follow God and obey Him, the happiness will pour into our lives. And you cannot be sad when you're following God, because it says that you meditate on Him day and night. It is very hard to be sad when you're focused on God, when you're focused on His Word, and you're focusing on what His Word tells you. So did you notice that first we follow the pleasure part, right? The pleasure in separating ourselves from sin. Now we find the engagement part, right? Now we're with God, and we're with His law, and we're engaged in Him. All right, so we're kind of following what we had just learned about, right? And where's the meaning? Well, the meaning, if you look at verse 3, it talks about us being the example of a tree that's planted by some rivers. What tree wouldn't be like to be around a couple of rivers? There's always water. There's always good climate, right? So this is like the tree. And this tree, if we read here, this tree has purpose. Its leaves never wither. So we will be able to shelter people in the heat, shelter people in the cool. This tree has fruit that it gives to people so people can partake of the fruit. And you know, this tree has some meaning, right? So we see and we have identified how man and what man calls happiness. And what man calls happiness and what we've read in these verses, they kind of mesh, right? But in a different way. Because we're not going to find the happiness that God is talking about when we're in the world. This is yes, we're agreeing that these three factors on pleasure, engagement, and meaning are correct, but in God. Right? Let's go to another verse. Let's go to our scripture reading, Psalm 16:11. And Psalm 16:11 says this, "You, which is God, will show me, which is us, the path of life. And in your presence is fullness of joy." Joy being happiness, right? Pleasure and joy. "At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So this is an incredible verse here, because if we look, this is what is going to give us joy. This is what is going to give us the happiness. And He is going to show us the path. And what is the path? The path is, it's another P, it's the purpose, right? The first P, purpose. When we have that path and we follow on that path, God shows us where and when and how to go. So we'll have purpose. And we see that in this verse. We're also on this path and we're going to be around people. Has anybody ever been hiking? Have you been hiking and never found anybody on the trail? Most of the time we find people on the trail. We find people on the path. Right? So we're around people. And when we're walking on the path, like when you're hiking, you make progress. Remember climbing a couple of the tallest peaks up in Lake Tahoe? Where you get up and you start looking back and you start looking, wow, I came a long way. Right? Oh, we're really up there. You know, as you start getting on that path, right? When we progress, when we give our lives over to God and we start following His Word, we have the purpose, we have the pleasure, we're around people, and now we start to see ourselves progressing. Progressing and becoming better people. Right? This is awesome. And also, how hard is it not to be positive when we see that at His right hand we will have pleasures forevermore? All right, so we see the four P's, and we find these here in the context of God and His purposes and His Word as well. Right? If we want to dissect the Psalms 1 through 3, we're going to find the four P's as well. We don't have time to go over that, but you'll find it. An interesting passage that I came across, and it actually had to do with last week's lesson. And it says this, it's by Ellen White, and it is written in My Life Today, page 165. And listen to what it says here. The Savior taught this principle, and it calls it in parentheses, the golden rule to make mankind happy and not unhappy, for in no other way can happiness come. I know you guys are all starting to think here, right? Where's the way where happiness is going to come, right? It says, God desires men and women to improve their higher powers by doing the work he has entrusted to mankind. So doing the work, it says this, the work of searching out and revealing the necessities of their fellow man. Man should not work for his own selfish interest, but for the interest of everyone about him. Blessing others by his influence and kindly deeds. This purpose of God is exemplified in Christ's life. So we see here that a lot of people today are living to fill themselves with happiness. And this is saying, no, we don't need to work on filling ourselves. We need to work about filling others. It continues to say this. It says, seize every opportunity to contribute to the happiness of those around you, sharing with them your affliction, words of kindness, looks of sympathy, expression of appreciation. Would to many a struggling, lonely be as a cup of cold water to the thirsty soul. It says, a word of cheer, an act of kindness would go far to enlighten the burdens that are resting heavily upon weary shoulders. How many people do we see out there with weary shoulders? And just simple acts of kindness can help them. And it says this. This is the main point. If you haven't listened to anything else, listen to this. It says, it is in unselfish ministry that true happiness is found. All right, I got an amen. I can leave now, right? That is the point. Real happiness, true happiness, is going to be found when we share God with others. When we let go of trying to fill this empty vessel with happiness and giving it to others. So where is true happiness found? In what? Where is true? Do I have to read it again? You guys forgot it that quick? It is in unselfish ministry that true happiness is found. Everybody got it? Unselfish ministry to others, right? When we work for others, we're actually working for ourselves. Because we're filling ourselves with the true happiness that God wants us to have. You can only give yourself what you already have. So if you have something, you can give it to yourself. But if you don't have it, how can you give it to yourself, right? Happiness has to come from external sources. We cannot give ourselves happiness. It has to come from somebody else and something else. We cannot lock ourselves in a room and be happy. It doesn't matter what's on TV. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You cannot be alone your whole life by yourself and find happiness. Happiness has to come from somebody else. Okay, we're getting to the point where I want to talk about a parable. And it's the parable of the hidden treasure. It's a very small, one-verse parable. So if you want to, you can take out your Bibles and follow along with me. It is in Matthew 13, verse 44. And I think this does. This has a hidden treasure for us. Right? So the parable of the hidden treasure. And it goes like this. Matthew 13, 44. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Right? So we just read something that was very short and very precise, but something that is jam-packed with what we're talking about. So let's unfold it a little bit here, right? So we have a man, and this man, he has to work. This work might bring him pleasure, it might not, but that's what he has to do. And he doesn't own land for himself, so he goes out and he finds a land, and he rents this land, right? Because we learn later he buys the land, so he's obviously renting or using this land before, right? So he rents this land. He probably looks at the land and goes, it's not that great, but that's what I can afford, and that's what I'm going to do. He doesn't see anything special in this land when he's starting off. He said, I'm going to work this land right here, right? And as he's going, right, he's not going through with tractors like modern day. He's probably going along again, behind some cattle, and he has the plow there. And all of a sudden, he's going along, and he's probably sweating, he's probably tired, and then he hits a bump. He bumps into something, and it stops, and he has to stop the cows from going forward, and his plow's now off to the side, and he's probably really tired and weary, and he's like, oh, now what is this, right? You can't have rocks in the middle of where you're going to plant. The plant's not going to be able to grow there. And so he goes and says, okay, I'm going to see what happened here. And he gets down, and he's on his hands and knees, and he's starting to dig. He's starting to see what it is, and he's not finding what he thought he was going to find. And he finds this little chest. And in this chest, it's broken from the side. And all of a sudden, he sees something shimmering from the side. He opens up, he takes out the little chest that's there, and there's more gold than he's ever seen in his life. Just sitting there, in the soil. And he just ran into it with his plow as he was working the soil. You can imagine how happy he was, right? He said, money can't bring happiness, but this man was, yes, right? He had that momentary happiness. Right? And then he started to think, and he has all this gold there, and then he starts to look around, right? Is anybody watching me? Right? Is anybody seeing what's going on here? And he's going through this moment of thinking, and he thinks, I need to buy this land. Right? And he doesn't want to steal the treasure. And he leaves the treasure there, he buries the treasure so it can't be seen, ties up his cows, and he goes back home. And he's starting to gather up all the money that he has. And he's seeing that he doesn't have enough, because he knew the price. He asked to buy the land before, probably, and he couldn't buy it, so he had to rent it. But he knew the price. So then he starts selling stuff, because he doesn't have enough. And how much did he sell? All that he had, right? And now he's selling all of these things, and he has his wife that's right next to him going, what are you doing here? Why are you selling everything? I'm going to go buy that land. His wife's like, what? We couldn't afford it. What's going on here? His friends, his wife's friends, everybody's starting to get input. They're seeing that he's selling because he's got a big garage sale, right? That's what's going on. He's not putting everything up on eBay. He's having a garage sale. He's, hey, how much will you give me for this? How much you give me for that? And his town's like, all right, I'll buy it. And he's selling at discount prices because he really wants to get all that money that day. And he gets all that money, and he goes to the owner of the field and says, I would like to buy this land now. The guy's like, you haven't even worked it yet. He's like, I want to buy it. I want this land to be mine. And I said, all right, fine. I'll take it. I'll take your money here. It's yours. He goes back to that field. He digs up that treasure. And then he has that treasure for himself. Right? So the question is, was that man happy? He's happier, right, at that time. Another question for you. Was this man looking for treasure? He was not looking for treasure. Right? He wasn't looking for gold. He was working. He was providing for his family. And what he was going to sell was also going to provide and help his whole village. Everything that he had, everything that he was going to plant and sell was going to be for somebody else. Some of it was going to be for him, but it was all going to be for something else. He received something that was not his end goal. Right? He was not looking for that. If we go to Christ Object Lessons, page 36, it says that the treasure is what? The treasure is the gospel. The treasure is the gospel, right? So now let that thing sink in real quick. This man was working, and he was not looking for the gospel, but he found the gospel. And if we read in the Bible, the gospel equals happiness, right? When we follow the gospel and we follow the gospel message and we share this message, it will in turn bring us happiness. Right? So if we go out and we search for happiness, are we going to find happiness? If we just go out and search for just that, we're probably going to do it in the way that we talked about in the beginning, the nine ways that unhappy people search for happiness in our next job, in our next relationship, in our next purchase, right? That's what's going to happen if we try and just search out happiness. But when we go out and we search for something else, most of the time we're going to find happiness, right? And sharing the word of God, I can tell you, will make you happy. It will make you happy. Happiness is a byproduct and is the result of living a meaningful life. It is something that we can only be attained by doing something else. We have to find happiness in other things. And searching and spreading the word of God will give you happiness. You can look all over the world if you want to for happiness in all of the other ways, and let me know if you find it. But the Bible says that we can only find true happiness in the gospel and in sharing the gospel with others. So I'll go back to the question that the title of the sermon was, is what does happiness have to do with it? What does happiness have to do with life? Happiness is something that we get by only sharing the Word of God and in the Word of God. Did you know that the field, when we're talking about the field in this parable, the field is what? Does anybody know what the field represents? Scripture. The field represents Scripture. And when we search the Scriptures, what are we going to find? You're going to find God, you're going to find the gospel, and you're going to find happiness if you change your life to be what the Bible wants you to be, what God wants you to be, right? And isn't it great? I mean, we serve a wonderful and great creator. Is there some amens, right? Everybody's in agreement? God wants us to be close to him. So isn't it incredible that he made it so that we can only truly be happy with him? When we're not with him, we're not going to have true happiness. And people all over this world are looking for happiness. We need to show them where they can find it. So many people are looking in the wrong place. There are so many people that are unhappy out there. So we need to be the ones that search, that find our treasure, which is God's treasure, which is the gospel, and share it with other people. True happiness is only going to come in unselfish ministry. Amen.
Please stand as we sing our closing hymn, Joy By and By, 430.
All right, let's bow our heads for the last prayer. Dear wonderful Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for giving us your word. Thank you so much for giving us the treasure that we can find in your word, Lord. Lord, there are so many people anxiously looking for happiness, anxiously looking to separate themselves from this world, Lord, but they don't know how. Help all of your faithful servants here at Sac Central to be able to start the work, Lord, so that we can share the word to so many others and then in return have true happiness, Lord, because that's going to be the product of what we do in sharing your word. So, Lord, please give us strength, please give us guidance, and just help us in everything that we do until your second coming very soon, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.